Hello, everyone. My name is Ryan, and welcome to High Tech on Life. It's Friday, and this day marks the end of Tesla Week. Thank you to all of those who have joined in and listened this week. It's been an interesting few days, and I think some of the episodes have been fantastic and given a lot of insight and information on Tesla and what they're doing and what they're planning on doing. All fun stuff. And if you haven't listened, if this is your first time tuning in today, we decided to do a Tesla week because last Saturday marked the first Model 3 to come off the production line. And Elon Musk tweeted the picture out. There's a lot of stories about that. So we thought, hey, let's delve into Tesla, see what they've been doing, where they came from, where they're going in the future. And we did. In part one, we kind of went into the history of Tesla, how they were formed and what their grand goal was, what their grand idea was when it comes to electricity and getting rid of the gas-powered vehicle and creating a better environment for people to live in. And also where they're going, what's their plans in the future. In part two, we went a little more detailed on the motoring side of Tesla and obviously the products that are causing the biggest hullabaloo, if you will, and that is their cars. And we started with the Tesla Roadster and went to the Model S, Model X, and Model 3, where they are today, and the delivery of that car. And then we kind of speculated on where they're going in the future. They have announced that they're working on a Model Y. They also announced that they are working on a new Roadster, which should be pretty interesting. In part three, we went into the not-so-motory side of Tesla, which is their, I call it the powerhouse. And that's the battery options and what is needed to create a fully solar home. It kind of went into what it would cost and the different options that they have. And if you did buy everything, you could be off the grid pretty much. Now in part four, we stirred up a little bit of controversy with kind of questioning the electric car and seeing if there wasn't possibly some other technology out there that would be more suited to how we operate today with our gas-powered cars. And today in part five, we're going to wrap up the whole Tesla week. And then towards the end of the show, we're going to go into a little bit of news of the week because I like to do that on Fridays because it's Friday and it's the weekend and we don't have to do anything and we get to relax. For me, I like to do some stuff in my yard, but I'm weird like that. And then, unfortunately, I have to work this weekend, but that's just how it is being an audio guy. You end up getting called onto shows on the weekend sometimes. I haven't had to for a while, like I said in a few episodes ago, I think last week, last Friday's episode, actually, I said that I don't have to work many weekends. It is true, I really don't, but this weekend, I have to work. So I will do a little bit of fun stuff, and then I will work. I will pay the bills. So let's wrap up Tesla Week. So what do we get out of this whole grand idea from the genius minds at Tesla? What do us as end users, as consumers, get from that? Well, the main thing that I see is we have other options other than the status quo, than the norm. All of us who've grown up and embraced technology and really love having it in our lives have looked at least two aspects, travel, cars and such, and our homes as not being very techy, very futuristic. And we always grew up, I remember watching shows where it was the house of the future and it had all this crazy stuff in it. Not Back to the Future 2, because I don't think any of that really. Oh, you know what? The big screen TV on the wall. But they had the projection Do you remember the projection screens that came down in the windows to project a different landscape for you other than your backyard? And then the glasses, where they're watching TV on their glasses. I still think those should come out soon. They're working on it. I'm sure someone's working on it. We do have the VR goggles and, you know, Google Cardboard and all those little things, but it's not the same. Anyways, House of the Future. I think we truly have the options now to create a house of the future. One that is run on renewable energy, on solar power. And we have the batteries and we don't have to rely on... it basically makes us more free, right? We're not relying on the power company to supply stuff to us, even for our cars. If you get an electric car, no matter what model it is, if you have solar energy coming in and you've got enough juice in your batteries to charge your car each night, by all means, that's the real freedom. Even though you look at the cost right now of an electric car versus gas and how much it costs to fill it up, if you have solar energy, it's costing you nothing because you're getting that energy for free from the sun. So why not go that way, right? But it's the same kind of thing that happened when Apple was introducing all this new technology. It's like, we have an option to go in that direction, and this kind of is the catalyst to get us there. That's how the iPhone was. That's how the iPad was. And even with laptops and other offerings from Apple, that's what kind of pushed us in that direction. So like I said earlier, my favorite part of it is that whole home power, the powerhouse aspect of it, and how awesome it would be to have everything on your own power. Now the cars, you know, all of them look really good. I'm not a Model X fan, but it's just kind of the way it looks. I'm not a big fan of its looks. I think it's a great car, but the Model S, I mean, you're looking sports car, you know, that thing's primo looking. The Model 3, your basic sedan, right? In 14 years, you'll buy that car for your kid as, you know, the car he drives around in high school for like $1,500. That's what my dad did. He bought an old car for $1,500 and he said, "Hey, I just bought a car. Guess what? I'm going to let you borrow it. So you go ahead and borrow it. But if you mess up, you don't get to borrow my car anymore. Deal?" "Deal, Dad." "Perfect. Now go learn to be a responsible driver." That was my teenage years. And I suspect that's how it'll be eventually when we start to make this transition from gas-powered cars over to electric cars. And I don't think it'll always be, you know, gas-powered or electric. I think there's many hybrids out there that really work well. And I think it'll be that kind of transition that we're already in. We're kind of halfway through from the gas only, and we'll do this hybrid thing for many, many years to come. And then I'm sure someday we'll all transition over to electric cars. And whether that be from solar energy or from fuel cell energy, as we talked about yesterday, either way, I think is a viable option, but it will be electric cars. So let's look to the future and encourage these manufacturers to make cars that we want to drive, right? We want to have fun driving. We don't want to drive a tin can that barely runs. We want something that is exactly like the cars we're driving now, and to that level of comfort and in the way that we're used to being in a car and driving. So with that said, I think we can say that Tesla's going to take us into that realm, right? They're going to take us into the future like that. They're the ones leading the way. The other car manufacturers are getting close, a couple are doing well. Nissan and BMW have come out with theirs. I think the BMWs are more of a hybrid, but they rely on electric power 90% of the time. And then you have a small engine in there, gas-powered engine, that will give you a little bit more mileage. It's kind of like the concept I was thinking of yesterday, where you have a reserve fuel tank. That's what it is. Or you have reserve battery that if you die, You click a button over to your reserves and you find a charging point quick. That's basically what the i3 and the i8 are, is they have that extra little bits in them, little bit of motor in them to get you to where, get you off the side of the road if you break down. Wonderful. So that'll end our Tesla week. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Hopefully we can do it again in the future. Maybe we'll do another one. Let me know if you guys like this kind of format, if you like having a whole week of shows that are centered around a similar topic, or if you like the one-offs, because I really like doing the one-offs because it's fun just to research one topic and do it in a half hour, get everything out there, get my opinion, and then hear back from you guys. But I also kind of like this whole week because, you know, we kind of know what we're going to talk about. We know what to look forward to. And if we like that week's worth, you know, that week of shows, it just keeps the conversation going. And we could kind of meld from one episode into the next. Anyways, Tesla, awesome. All right, so I wanted to move on to the news of the week and kind of look at a few different stories that are out there that piqued my interest. There's been a lot. I mean, a lot of really just boring stuff, in my opinion. You know, there's been a lot about net neutrality, and net neutrality is what it is. I went into this long article about why it was created, and you know, net neutrality can, there's pluses and minuses to really everything. Nothing's like a foolproof 100%, at least in this sense, and anything that has to do with anything that deals with regulation of something, there's always pluses and minuses to it. If you're going to regulate something, like it's good to regulate some things, right? Like the FDA, to regulate how things need to be prepared and meet certain standards to deliver to us, the consumer, so that we're not going to get sick or have like really old food that's spoiled that we don't know about. Like they put those regulations in place, and that's a good example of it. But opening the doors to regulate something also opens the doors to those who will misuse that power to regulate. Because if you think about it, all the laws that we have in our society, the laws that are down on the books, like actual laws, have to be created, ran through committees, and then voted upon by a representative body, right? So delegates who are representing us, the people that we have voted for, that we have put in office to say, represent me and make laws that I agree with. We'll put you in office. They have to look at those laws and vote on them and vote on what the majority of their district or area would be for, right? But what happens with regulations is once you open the door to those regulations, those don't have to go through committees. They do not have to go through the proper channels, and it can end up restricting more than freeing. And I might be wrong on this. I'm sure there's other factors involved, and I get so bored. I mean, I have ADD, so I get so bored of the long articles that go into all this legalese, and I'm just not good at that stuff. But from a standpoint of, you know, I look at something that was once wide open to use, and when they start saying, well, regulations say that you can't do this anymore, or regulations say that this company has to do this, and regulations say that this is this now, that's restricting my freedom. That's restricting what is the ultimate free space right now, which is the internet. If you start to regulate the internet, what does it become? It doesn't become a place of free speech anymore. Like, could I really release this podcast if I was like a hardcore, super opinionated person on things that were really bad? Then they could shut it down. And you're probably thinking, well, they should. If you're so hateful and full of rage, then shut you down. But that's not what we are about, especially in the United States, because we are all about that, the freedom to speak your mind and the freedom to pursue what you would like to do. And once you start regulating things, that puts a hindrance on there that holds you back. Now, there are certain reasons to do it. I understand that. But I think that it's just never going to be as free with regulations as it is without. And we have also the freedom of choice. So if we see something that we don't like or something's going down that we don't like, we can choose not to participate in that or to view that. And I think one of the big things that happened, and there's a whole backstory to why net neutrality is happening, and I don't want to get into it because I don't think we have time today. Maybe we'll do a whole episode on it next week. I don't know. It's just such a controversial issue, and I really don't want to dwell on controversial issues. We want to have fun on the show, right? But I think it's very important that we do look at it from that perspective. And one of the big stories I remember when they first started talking about net neutrality was the whole Comcast and Netflix thing, where Comcast was saying, look, you're, what was it, like 30 or 40% of all bandwidth used through Comcast's cable lines was off the Netflix server. So Comcast basically said, look, we need that room for other things. So in order to continue to have you through our ISP, then we want to hardwire into your server, basically. That's what they were wanting to do. And in order to do that, I think Comcast like charged them money to connect directly to Comcast in the millions. And if you actually look at the cost of what that was, it's nothing to them. It was like 20 million, 30 million, whatever it was. That's nothing to Netflix now. Even back then, it wasn't really a lot of money to them. And they did it, and it works just fine. And really, if you look at it from Comcast's perspective, and I'm not a big fan of Comcast, I have to use them because they're really the only company in town that'll give me the speeds I need. I'm not a big fan of Comcast. I wish I could go with another company. But if you think about how much money they put into the infrastructure to get those lines into our neighborhoods and into our homes, they paid to put that wire that they put, they paid to put that in the ground and to run it to us and to service it. So if Netflix is using up that much of their bandwidth and it's going down their lines, it's their stuff. They're a company that has put in that investment, and they have every right to ask Netflix and make Netflix do that because it's their property. They own those lines, right? And so I never understood why people were so against that whole thing. I think it was fine. I think Netflix had some arguments against, but then Comcast also had their point of view. And I think they came to a really good conclusion. And we benefit because of it here at our home because we're with Comcast. So we get at least decent speeds from them. I've never had an issue with Netflix and Comcast. So anyways, net neutrality, I'm sure there's opinions on both sides. Let me know what you guys think. I always want to hear your opinions on that. You can call me a dummy or you can agree with me either way. But let's get into a couple other stories that I think are funner and more exciting than net neutrality. So I saw a few stories on CNET this last week. One of them that, there was a couple that really sparked my interest, piqued my interest. And one of them was from the UK where it said that 22,000 people agreed to unblock sewers because of the terms in their Wi-Fi agreement. And the company, what do they call it? Purple? It's a Wi-Fi provider in the UK, decided to kind of tease those around them. And I don't know, they probably actually lost clients from this, customers, because can you think about that? They secretly added in a new clause to their service agreement that said, the user may be required at Purple's discretion to carry out 1,000 hours of community service. And they gave some examples. They said, well, cleansing local parks of animal waste. That's always fun. Providing hugs to stray cats and dogs. Could do that, right? Or manually relieving sewer blockages. So all of us do it, right? We just kind of skim over the terms and agreements, right? And we just agree to it because we got to get stuff done. We don't have time to move on to that. I just thought that was a funny story. I still probably won't do it. I bet you won't either. Read the terms and agreements because it just takes too long, right? Well, let's jump over to The Verge for a second because they had a couple stories that kind of coincide with each other. It looks like the Note 8 is probably going to be announced in late August. They're saying the 23rd now, and I've been looking forward to this one as possibly my first Android phone. Because I've always been on iOS, and I'll probably continue to have an iOS device. But the Android side of things really intrigues me. And I was all about the Note 7. I wanted that thing so bad. So much that when I got hired on at the place I currently work, they agreed to get me onto their cell service, right? So they got me onto their contract. And they said, here's a bunch of phones. They have a whole list of phones that you can choose from and their prices. So you could pay a little extra to get it. I totally wanted the Note 7. I was like, let's get it in there. But they had taken it off because of the issues that they had with the batteries exploding. And so I kept calling the rep and saying, when's the Note 7 going to be back? And he said, we're hoping maybe a couple weeks, but maybe even not at all. And I was so bummed out because I was looking forward to jumping over to an Android device. And I'm glad I didn't because I travel a lot for my work and they are definitely banned from any plane. At the beginning of every plane, they say, oh, by the way, the Samsung Note 7 is banned from all flights. And if you have it, if you have one, please give it to us and we'll dispose of it properly. That's how they start every single flight. Just as a reminder, if you got the phone that blows up, give it to us and we'll just throw it away for you. So seeing that the Note 8 will be out soon, I can't wait to see what it's going to be. And also seeing what the S8 has been and the S8 Plus and how they've looked and kind of melding that with the Note use, the way that you use the Note, which helps me. I know styluses are weird, but I get so many things sometimes where people are saying stuff to me and I need to know right away. And to open up your phone and to go in and get into the Notes app and then start a new note and then, okay, finally, I'm ready. I just want to be able to pop the stylus out and write down a note really quick. That's like the best case scenario for me. And so I'm hoping that this is going to be a good thing. I won't get one right away because of what happened. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be skeptical like that. They won't get one right away, but they'll wait and see how the batteries actually react before they buy. So you're not going to have an iPhone type craziness when it comes out. I don't think you will. So in relation to that, Samsung released the Note 7 Fan Edition, and it's like a refurbished Note 7, and you know, they think probably won't explode because they've changed out the battery. And really, that's all they've done is you can get a Note 7. They just refurbished them and put in a brand new battery in that won't blow up. And iFixit tore one down. This comes from The Verge as well. They tore one down and the only thing, all it is a smaller battery that won't explode. So if you're looking at getting a fan edition one, just to have one around, which actually might be kind of fun, but you can get one and the battery won't explode. Still going to be banned on all flights, though. They don't care. They don't care if it's been redone. I swear they'll still be saying it for years to come. This next story is going to break the hearts of many of you. I know it will, because it did mine. And that is that the ever-so-loved and popular song Gangnam Style by Psy is no longer the most viewed YouTube video ever. That crown, my friends, has been given to Wiz Khalifa and his song See You Again from the Fast and Furious movie, number 7, I think. And it currently has 2.8 billion views, almost 2.9 billion views. And Gangnam Style has slightly less, just teeny bit less. See You Again has 2,897,000,000 and Gangnam Style has 2,894,000,000. And that's of like Tuesday, you know. I know, We can all cry a little bit, and then we'll listen to See You Again and cry more. So we're good. And finally, the last story of the week that is just all pluses in my book, because anytime you can meld fast food with technology, it is the best place to be in the world. And Huawei has done that. In China, they have taken their Enjoy 7 Plus. I don't even know that model. Maybe that's just a Chinese edition. But the Enjoy 7 Plus, they have decided to come out with a Kentucky Fried Chicken version. KFC in a phone? Awesome. And they did it to mark the 30th anniversary of the arrival of the Colonel's Chicken into their country. And I've been to Hong Kong. And I'm sure there was one around there somewhere, KFC, but I didn't really see one. Maybe if I go into mainland China, there's many more, I'm sure. It's kind of the specs are bumped down a little bit. And I think this might be on the Enjoy 7 Plus in general. Is a 5.5-inch display, 720p, Snapdragon 435, 3 gigs of RAM, 32 gigabyte storage. So like a mid to low level smartphone, right? But here's the kicker. If you buy one, you get 10,000 K-dollars. That's right, K-dollars. And so you can use that at any KFC-ish. And I didn't know this, but apparently these kind of themed phones and these special edition models, and since I've been an iOS user since the iPhone came out and haven't made the jump, I am not aware of this. I know they've released some, you know, like the special edition red phones that they did recently with the iPhone 7 and those kind of things, those kind of products that Apple has gotten on board with, but never like a branded special edition. Samsung, according to the article, Samsung's done some Batman and Iron Man versions of their phones, and Motorola's done an R2-D2 edition of the Droid 2. So I think that's pretty cool, actually. I kind of like those special editions. When they did the S7 Active, which was the more rugged version of the S7, I thought that was brilliant, because that's the kind of phone that I would want, because currently I have my iPhone in an OtterBox case that puts like 50 million layers of protection on it, so that when I am clumsy and I drop it, I still have my $900 phone intact. So I like the special editions. I like the special edition things. I can't afford them, but they look cool, right? Anyways, that's it for today, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Have a happy Friday. Let me know what you guys think in the comments. Subscribe, like, and share if you liked the episode. This has been a fun week talking about Tesla and everything that goes on with them, and also letting you know of some of the fun stories of the week in the tech world. Be sure to look us up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's at High Tech on Life. Also, you can email me, ryan@hightechonlife.com. That's right. I have email. It's crazy, right? By the way, never, ever, ever put your recovery email as an email address that you haven't used in like 5 years. Always remember to change those recovery addresses, because I had to recover one of my passwords, and it got sent to a Gmail account I haven't used in probably about that time, 4 or 5 years. Not really the best idea. I finally went and changed it. Everything's good now, but just be careful of that. Anyways, like I said, subscribe, like, and share. You can subscribe on the podcast player of your choice. All these episodes are free. You can stream them for free. You can download them for free. You can share them for free. Hit that share button and share it with your friends. Thank you again for tuning in. Guys, we will see you on Monday. Happy Friday, and have an awesome weekend, and we'll talk to you in the next one.